प्रेमसखा श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासव गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। भवित भक्तवृंद की जय। गौर प्रेम नंदी हरि को we are reading this morning from the first Kings chapter 2. First, can someone please help me? Which text is it? 22. Yes. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam namaskritya.
Narayanam namaskritya.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Devim sarasvatim vyasam.
Devim sarasvatim vyasam.
Tojayam udidaye.
Tojayam udidaye.
Sashadaya.
Sashadaya.
Yatmika
Jigyasa Yatmika
Yoganishtaya
Yoganishtaya
Yogeshwarupasanaya
Yogeshwarupasanaya
Chanityam
Chanityam
Punyashavaha
Punyashavaha
Kataya
Kataya
Punyayacha
Punyayacha
Sash Sashradaya Bhagavatamachayaya
Sashradaya Bhagavatamachayaya
Jigyasayatyatmika Yoganishtaya
Jigyasayatyatmika Yoganishtaya
Yogeshwarupasanaya Chanityam
Yogeshwarupasanaya Chanityam
Shavakataya punyaya cha.
Punya shavakataya punyaya cha.
Sashadaya bhagavadhanamachaya.
Sashadaya bhagavadhanamachaya.
Jigyasayat yatmika yoganishtaya.
Jigyasayat yatmika yoganishtaya.
Yogeshwarupasanaya chanityam
Yogeshwarupasanaya chanityam
Punya shravakataya punyaya cha
Punya shravakataya punyaya cha
Sashadaya bhagavaddharmachaya
Sashadaya bhagavaddharmachaya
Jigyasayatyatmika yoganishtaya
Jigyasayatyatmika yoganishtaya
Yogeshwarupasanaya chanityam
Yogeshwarupasanaya chanityam
Punyashavakataya punyaya cha
Punyashavakataya punyaya cha
Yes, please.
Sashadaya bhagavaddharmacharyaya
Jigyasayatyatmika yoganishtaya
Yogeshwarupasanaya chanityam
Yogeshwarupasanaya chanityam
Punyashavakataya punyaya cha
Punyashavakataya punyaya cha
Sashradhaya bhagavaddharmacharyaya
Sashradhaya bhagavaddharmacharyaya Chayaya.
Jigyasaya Adhyatmika Yoga Nishthaya.
Jigyasaya Adhyatmika Yoga Nishthaya.
Yogeshvara Upasanaya Cha Nityam.
Yogeshvara Upasanaya Cha Nityam.
Punya Shravah Kathaya Punya Yacha.
Punya Shravah Kathaya Punya Yacha.
Yes, part of these, please.
Sashradayam Bhagavatam Acharyayam.
Sashradayam Bhagavatam Acharyayam.
Jigyasaya Adhyatmika Yoga Nishthayam.
Jigyasaya Adhyatmika Yoga Nishthayam.
Yogeshvara Upasanaya Cha Nityam.
Yogeshvara Upasanaya Cha Nityam.
Punya Shrava Kathaya Punya Yacha.
Punya Shrava Kathaya Punya Yacha. Sashradaya Bhagavatam Acharyaya.
Jigyasaya
Adhyatmika Yoga Nishthaya.
Yogeshvara
Upasanaya Cha Nityam.
Punya
Shrava Kathaya Punya Cha.
So
that
devotional service,
Sadaya,
with faith and conviction,
Bhagavad-dharma,
devotional service,
Sadaya,
by discussion,
Yigyasaya,
by inquiry,
Adhyatmika,
spiritual.
Yoga
Nishthaya,
by conviction in spiritual understanding.
Yoga Ishvara,
Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Upasamaya, by worship of Him.
Cha,
and Nityam,
regularly.
Punya Shravaha,
by hearing which,
by discussion,
Punyaya,
by pious,
Cha,
also. Translation of this verse is from the instructions of the four Kumaras to Prithu Maharaj. And they will tell him now how he can increase his own attachment to Krishna. Attachment for the Supreme can be increased by practicing devotional service, inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, applying Bhakti Yoga in life, worshipping the Yogeshwara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by hearing and chanting about the glories of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. These actions are pious in themselves. Purport. The word Yogeshwara is applicable to both the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his devotees also. In the Bhagavad Gita, the word occurs in two places. In the 18th chapter, Krishna is described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, who is the master of all mystic power. Yogeshwara is also described at the end of the 6th chapter, Same Yukta Tamo Matav. This Yukta Tama indicates the topmost of all yogis, the devotees, who can also be called Yogeshwara. In this verse, Yogeshwara Upasana means to render service to a pure devotee. Thus, Narottam Das Thakur says, Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nishthara Payeche Keva. Without serving a pure devotee, one cannot advance in spiritual life. Prahlad Maharaj also has said,
Naishim matastava durakraman grim sprishyat janata vagamo yadata mahiya sampara rajo bishekam niskinchananam chavini navinitayavad. One should take shelter of a pure devotee who has nothing to do with this material world but is simply engaged in devotional service. By serving him only, one can transcend the qualitative material condition. In this verse, it is recommended, Yogeshwara Upasanaya, that one serve the lotus feet of the topmost yogi or the devotee. To serve the topmost devotee means to hear from him about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the mouth of a pure devotee is to acquire a pious life. In Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that without being pious, one cannot engage in devotional service. Yesham tvanta gatan papam jnananam punyakarmanam tetvantva moha nirmukta vajanti mangrita vrata. To become fixed in devotional service, one has to become completely cleansed from the contamination of the material modes of nature. For work in devotional service, the first item is Ado Guru Ashraya. One should accept a bona fide spiritual master. From the bona fide spiritual master, inquire about one's transcendental occupational duties and follow in the footsteps of a great saint, of great saintly persons, devotees, sadhu marga anugamanam. These are the instructions given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami. Conclusion. The conclusion is that to increase attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to accept a bona fide spiritual master and learn from him the methods of devotional service and hear from him about the transcendental message and glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, one has to increase his conviction about devotional service. Then it will be very easy to increase attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimadevati Vedanta Swami Nityanande Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajaline Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ashtadhyayeshakarine Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
inspire us in our efforts in devotional service for the coming year. This verse has a verse before, like all verses, and I would like to read it to you as well. Shastre shu iyam nivasuni shito ninam temasya sadrik yak vrimrishrito hito asangatma vyatidaktatmani Nridharatiya Brahmani Nirgune Chaya.
It has been conclusively decided in the scripture. This is the conclusion. After due consideration, that means a lot of thinking went into this, that the ultimate goal for the welfare of human society is detachment from the bodily concept of life and increased and steadfast attachment for the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental beyond the modes of material nature. Let us focus a little on this shloka and this statement, and then go to this present verse. The Bhagavatam here offers a conclusion. It says one should, the conclusion is detachment from the bodily concept of life and increased and steadfast, and steady attachment for the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental and beyond the modes of material nature. So, detachment and attachment. There are two types of dealing or applying this concept of attachment. One is called vairagya, and the other is a state called virakti. Vairagya means something like you practice detachment. And virakti means you are detached, you obtain that state. I often feel when we hear the word detachment from the bodily concept of life, we feel, oh, yes, I know, but, ah, Krishna. So this is as long as you practice detachment, as you, like for instance, you are sitting with devotees and taking prasadam, and the second time the server comes with sweets, and you have, you know, sweets are not so good for your metabolism, your Stoffwechsel, and you shouldn't eat too much, and you have already really reached your decent level. It's really this would be a good time to end, but now comes the rasagula and the thing, and at that time you may like to eat rasagula and gulab jamun, but you say, well, I will practice detachment, and you will say to the server who comes by, no, I'm not interested. But as he goes by, you feel a tearing in your heart. And as he's 5 meters gone from you, you feel like this was really a little bit above my adhika, my present qualification. when he is 10 meters ago, away, you just think, could I have ever done such a foolish thing? And the whole day, it takes some time for you to come over this. This is called practicing vairagya, but not having attained the state of virakti, that is detachment. An example of virakti is given in the Nectar of Devotion. It's Bharat Maharaj, who was naturally, without any effort and without any, lingering andauernden oder bestehenden, weiter bestehenden attachment, practicing just no thank you, detachment. And we will soon hear how he did it, but I would like to just tell you the example. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam which says that Bharat Maharaj gave up his wonderful, luxurious kingdom and all the attachments with it, like someone who would give up stool. And this is the example. We can't imagine how wonderful the kings were enjoying at the old times. I mean, it's really beyond us. I only will give you one idea. They had architects which built the flower garden in such a way that it was just before the sleeping room. So they placed the sleeping room in the direction where the night winds, these are usually western winds, came, as far as I remember, and then the wind would bring into the sleeping room the fragrance of these night blooming jasmine flowers, and they were just going to sleep and enjoy like anything. That was just something which was done for the night. Now you can imagine what was done for the day to make them enjoy. It's really beyond the present conception of enjoyment. He had a beautiful wife, extremely attractive, intelligent children, and a wonderful rule, loving subjects. But he gave that up just like one would give up ficus. Ficus is a polite word for stool. This example means something. A person who gives up his excrement doesn't have to think twice about it. It's not a struggle for him that he now puts the hand on the button and it comes and he thinks, oh no, it went down. How could I ever be so foolish to let this go? You know, it's never a thought. You know, it's not. So it's effortless. There is no strain on the mind in psychology. It's natural. So a person who is on that state of virakti doesn't need to practice or to work hard and to make a special effort to be renounced. It is very clear. Why is it clear? Because he has understood that material life is not a material sense gratification, and material activities work against his real self-interest. It doesn't help me. He knows this. And that's why he can say, I don't need it. Just like in this example, if you keep contact with the excrement becomes poisonous. Do you know this? If it stays a lot, too long in the body, they say in Heilkunde, yes, our Heilkunde, Naturheilarzt, sehr interessant, der Tod kommt aus dem Darm. You know, the death comes out of the intestine. What that means is the digestion doesn't work and the substance stays inside and it poisons you. So there is no thought. So a person on the state of Krishna consciousness, virakti, govindati, you look so sweet when you're sleeping. You know, he knows this works against my self-interest, my attachments. They don't help me. It's against me. Like a person who knows this excrement, it really is not good. I must get rid of it, you know. And then someone who's on the platform of Vairagya doesn't have an afterthought about it. He doesn't go after it. Do you think about the morning when you went to the bathroom and did your bathroom activities and you think about, no, it's gone. Shoot, the excrement is gone. You don't hanker after it. It doesn't work in your mind all the time. Wow, this. So these three things are, let us summarize, these three symptoms happen on the platform of virakti, when you are detached, when you are in the state of detachment. It comes natural to say no. You know that it works against your self-interest to be detached, and to be attached, I'm sorry. You know it works against your self-interest to be attached. And finally, the third thing is, you don't have any Shri Prahlad Nisimha Deva ki Jai. Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki Jai. Thank you. Akiva Prabhu and Shri Prahlad. So this is you don't think about it any longer. Just like a person who has done his bathroom activities, let us now speak very careful before the deities, who has done his bathroom activities doesn't think any longer about what he has just given up. It's not a thought. It's not there. So you might now ask yourself the justified questions. Well, how do I come to this state of natural detachment? When I visited Hamburg just a few days ago, I saw at the house of my brother a Back to Godhead magazine, and there was an article of Srila Prabhupada in this, and he made it very, very clear that we must practice detachment. He said, the aim of the human form of life is to disconnect from the body. Whoa, that was a strong sentence. The aim of the human form of life is to disconnect from the body. It means to come to the spiritual platform where you understand I'm a servant of Krishna, and to act on that spiritual platform and no longer on the physical platform. Physical platform means sense gratification, to fulfill the endless chain or the endless caravan of material desires who come marching down in your brain. That is bodily concept of life. He said the aim of life is to disconnect from this and to come to the higher level, the spiritual level. So you might ask justifiably, how to do this, please? Can the scriptures please help me in making it clear what is my mission? And I would like to talk a little bit about this today because, I feel when we have come to a festival like this, and when we are in this wonderful association of the deities and of the devotees, something happens in our heart. Such association is a little bit like a mirror, and we become connected to our spiritual ideals, isn't it? We think more of Krishna, and we also feel maybe a little sadness. That's at least what many devotees tell me. A sadness that, it would be nice if I would be a little bit more Krishna conscious, but I'm not. So we feel a little sadness, and we feel challenged. Often when we hear these kirtans, these wild kirtans, and we are not yet so much on that level, we feel, I can't do it any longer, and so on. It takes some time for us to get into the atmosphere. We might feel a little critical, our mind might express dissatisfaction. It's all signs of purification which go on when we are in this exalted association. And then when we finally are able to connect with the festival, with the wonderful devotees and their tremendous effort in book distribution, we do become inspired. Like the Dhammakarana Maharshi, I thought this was very nice how he said, I hope the way I heard it is when you with devotees, it's like a mirror. It brings also something out in you, which it reminds us of something. Oh, this devotee is very determined, and you think, wow, good. This devotee is very, is a little bit more attached to deity worship. Oh, wow, very nice. Look at him. The old man is still doing his puja. And you think, what a good example. Fine, I feel inspired. And so it brings out something, the qualities when you see devotees. Something, the qualities which they have, somehow get brought out in your life. So I feel it's a good moment for us. We are in a good space now, as they say in America, a good inner space now to focus on what we could call priorities in our life. We live in a fast time, so many things and impressions come into our lives, and much of it is Kali Yuga thing. So many emails come, so many informations. My bag is always full with things which I apparently have to read to do my service. Let me see what is inside here. Here's a new transformational calendar which tells us about the art of transformation from one point of view, and I'm just writing such a course, and I'm feeling this book. I feel it was recommended to me. I should look into it. I don't want to do it. It will steal my time. I don't like to do it. It somehow sticks to my red bag. The little things I feel I have to do. The little meetings, the little unimportant, these relationships which don't really nourish anyone. They don't nourish my life. They don't nourish the other person's life. What else is there in the life? There is a wave of so many diversions, ablenkungen, coming in our lives. And if we don't learn to set priorities, we are dissatisfied the whole life. Many of us are not really in a place where they take care of their priorities. They take care of the other things which seem to need to be done. Washing, if you are a woman, a wife, washing so many things and cleaning the house, which always gets dirty again, and so on. And you always, when you do things which are not a priority, you always feel dissatisfied. There is always something in you, in your heart, where you can say, I'm not really satisfied. Only when you do a priority thing, something which has utmost importance for your life, you feel nourished and you feel strengthened by it. What are priority things for a spiritualist, a devotee like us? Well, these are things which work for self-realization. The Bhagavatam very clearly says, the greatest obstacle to one's self-interest is to think other things are more important than self-realization. Prabhupada makes the comment that self-realization here means the realization of the Supreme Self, Krishna, and the individual self, the soul, you or us. If you think anything else is more important than that, that is a great obstacle to your self-interest. It works against you. Huh? I so much liked when I had a talk with I forgot his name. I somehow am a fan of Kadamba Kalana Maharaj in an increasing way. He just came to me and he said, Maharaj, I have so much to do, but it so much is coming in. It gets more and more and more. Telephone calls, people, bang, 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 bang. And meetings, and then there is so much I want certain things I can't say here. Just unpleasant communications, let us call it like that. Now what I'm going to do is every morning I'm going to rise his intense personality at 1:30, and then I'm just going to do what I really like to do, chanting and hearing about Krishna, and then I deal with everything else. I thought this is a man who has set his priorities very clear. He has found out self-realization, that means Krishna and the individual soul, is the supreme interest, self-interest. Let me do it. It's a priority for me. And he has organized his life. He has used the early morning hours. I know this is our Maharaj. He is a very, very special soul. I'm not saying let us all get up at 1:30. I mean, those who feel inspired, please do. But you know, find your own way. Find how you can do it. If you don't learn to do it, you will be dissatisfied in your life, and you won't be effective in your real goals. You will not use the human form of life properly. Do you know how to drill a tiger? Wie dressiert man einen Tiger? I always wanted to know this, because when I saw once when I was a little boy, I saw the tigers jumping from here to there, and then, you know, doing something so unnatural as to have the head of the dompteur, the English word is the animal handler, the handler in his mouth, and not by eating it. I thought, how do they, how? And then I found out just 2 weeks ago, I was thinking I should have told this to myself when I was a child. Now I'm no longer so interested in these things. But the handler is an English word, it means dompteur. What the handler does is he comes into the manege, the circus where the tiger is, the wild tiger, and he brings a chair with him which has 4 analogous chair legs, Stuhlbeine. He holds it before and he shows it to the tiger. The tiger now, believe it or not, gets bewildered because he can't prioritize. These legs look absolutely identical. He doesn't know, should I bite into the first one, the second one, the third, or the fourth? And he doesn't know what to do. And that time, ding, ding, and he's still confused. The will, the strong will, which makes him most probably the strongest beast, at least I will this here, has been taken away from him by his inability to prioritize. This is, of course, an analogy. We all have a strong will. We all are parts of Krishna. Prabhupada said the sun dies and goes down every evening, and ultimately it will die completely, it will be destroyed, but the soul not. You are, the soul is a part of God, it is divine, it is eternal. But because we are in the material world and we are overwhelmed by so many things, and we just can't seem to not be able to prioritize what is in our real self-interest. Yes? Our powerful will is paralyzed. Doesn't work any longer. And we are pulled away by Maya as victims, easy victims. Yes, this is material life. It is Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, all the power which we have has been given to the mind. And the mind, who connects with the material energy, by saying this is pleasant, sankalpa and vikalpa, this I don't want, is now ruling us. Material attachment and material detachment, sankalpa and vikalpa, is ruling us. It connects us to the material energy. Our power is gone. But once we can learn to prioritize those things which work in our self-interest, my dear devotees, self, we speak here of self-interest, at that moment we will become satisfied and happy and also to some degree empowered. I don't want to say powerful because it's not our own power, but the Lord will pour His mercy into us. Actually, the Lord pours His mercy also. That's not a question of mercy. But we will, when we are on the spiritual platform, our life will be totally different and satisfied. This heart burning thing stops to work in us. This thing which works our heart. So, let us move on now. The Bhagavatam tells an analogy about attachment to material life, that is not setting your priorities clear, and attachment to Krishna by using the story of Puranjana. Pura means town and Anjana means someone who resides in. Puranjana means the living entity who lives in the city or town of nine gates. That's an analogy for the body. And we learn in this analogy how Puranjana becomes married to a beautiful queen who has two extremely attractive breasts, attachment and detachment, material attachment and material, I don't want this. And it is said that while he is together with this queen, his intelligence gets totally clouded over. That's why this queen has a darkish complexion. She looks dark, like maybe like a gypsy, but a little bit more dark also. Mm-hmm. Very beautiful. It's really described that it is very beautiful and very dominating. And so he lives an attached life. Remember Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's statement that the soul has given its power to someone else for the material mind and material intelligence. In this analogy, the queen is material intelligence. So this is described, and then Puranjana dies a very miserable life because he's so attached. Dies a very miserable death. It's really horror, the way it's described. It couldn't be better in a horror movie. It's really like the way he dies is really miserable. But he is by the mercy of the Lord, and he must have seen some sadhus or something. He is born in his next life as Vaidavi, a woman, because he was very attached, is married to a very, very good husband, and they live a very Krishna-conscious life, and develop a lot of attachment for Krishna. And at the end of the life, this is where I want to focus on, something wonderful happens. At the end of the life, Maladjaj Vaja, the husband has just died. The queen is crying. Vaidavi, who was Puranjana in a previous life, is just sitting before the funeral pyre. The flames lick up and eat the body of her husband, and she's just crying. And at that time, a divine personality comes, a Brahmana, who looks at the living entity And he says, do you remember me? Vaitavi must be crying. He looks at the Brahmana and says, doesn't he respond? Do you remember me? I'm your old friend. Like two swans, we are residing in the lake of the heart. In other words, the Brahmana says, you are the soul and I am the super soul. Like two swans in the lake of the heart. Soul and super soul. The beautiful analogy, huh? Two swans swimming together on the lake of the heart. Do you remember me? And then he says, once we resided in the kingdom of God. Do you remember? And as he speaks, Puranjana, who's now in the body of a woman, starts to remember because there's a divine revelation. And he remembers and remembers. And he has a good ending, the story. Goes back to Godhead at the end of the life. So, my dear devotees, there is a swan in your heart. There are two swans in your heart. One powerful swan and one jiva, living entity. There's Krishna in the heart. And if you learn to remember, just turn and turn your face towards him. He will give you a lot of support. This is what is described here. How can you learn to turn your face to Krishna? I will tell it now in the Bhagavatam language. It's a little philosophical. Then I will tell it in very simple Süd- und Norddeutscher Sprache, which is very makes it very simple. So here, attachment for the Supreme. Listen, please, it's important. It can be increased by practicing devotional service. Set your priorities. Put devotional service first. By asking questions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Don't be apathetic to Krishna Katha. Applying Bhakti Yoga in life. Worshipping the Yogeshwara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These actions are pious in themselves. I personally have read this verse many times because it starts, attachment for the Supreme can be increased. And I'm very interested in this subject, but it somehow doesn't stick so much. It's too high. It's so philosophical. And there was something about hearing about Krishna, but that we know already. I mean, is it all what is here? No, worshipping, applying Bhakti Yoga. I found a very nice and simple poem which I would like to read to you, which will make it very clear. It's a poem by Srila Lochandas Thakur. It's sung in the Sri Raga. I don't know how to sing this. And it's called The Tree of My Life. The life is here compared to a tree. I think we know this analogy from which scripture we know this. Huh? Bhagavad Gita. Yes, the banyan tree of material existence. And he describes how he fell from the spiritual world into the tree of his life and how Maya caught him in a net. He describes how a woman entered his heart and was drilling a hole in his heart. And he says how he himself became a tree, you know. He manifested fruits in the form of sons and daughters. They grew on his branches and fell to the ground.
Take the sun, take the daughter.
And he describes a beautiful analogy, how the bird of time made his nest in his branches. He described how this life of being in the material world, like a tree, you know, producing sons and daughters and so on. It's an analogy for material life. Don't become upset if you happen to be in the Vyasta Ashram. That's not the idea. You are beyond this. This doesn't describe a devotee marriage. It just describes the ordinary material life. So then he describes how he became stunted, means paralyzed and dried up, and then birth and death came. He was born up again. And he was born again. Then he describes, we'll read this now. Wicked desires and false hopes were the two streams of smoke, as a Rauchsäulen, that once arose. I called out, I'm dying! Please, please, O Vaishnava, O Sai, sprinkle me with the water of your mercy and save me. The scriptures tell us, my dear devotees, on the poison tree of this world, you will find many, many fruits. But if you try to enjoy them, or at the end, you will find out there's a worm inside. Then I was preaching a few days ago, weeks, I don't know, the time runs by, a few weeks ago, in Sarajevo, to one of the Muslim leaders there. It was a very nice meeting, and we were describing it. Then two blissful Muslims came from the Hajj. Hajj is a pilgrimage to Mecca, where they circumambulate or do parikram of the Kaaba. So they brought good Arabian dates with them. Now I have a weakness for dates. That's one of the only things I can still eat on the and I was extremely attached to these Arabian dates, and we just quickly wanted to offer them, and then Gaurahari offered them, and then he said, there's a worm inside. And we said, well, let's try the other dates, you know, not every worm. Every date which we opened had a worm inside. We went through this whole bag because of deep attachment to dates. And we opened each one, and there was a vomit. You couldn't eat them without becoming a non-vegetarian. I became detached, of course. And then I thought about this. Isn't this how material life is? Isn't this how my life is? I went into so many forms trying to enjoy the senses, and always you find out, there's a worm inside. There are only two nectarian fruits on the tree of life. The scriptures say, these are scriptures which talk about God, there is no worm. The Bhagavatam, worm free. And Sadhu Sangha. These are the two nectarian fruits on the tree, the abundant tree, material existence. But maybe there are other things as we learn. Of course, chanting is also, but that's not really a fruit of the tree. You know, the books are somehow printed with paper from this world. And Sadhu Sangha, these are people who are walking in the flesh and the blood in our life. These are the sources where we can get nectar. My suggestion to all of you is, prioritize, don't remain a paralyzed tiger any longer. That means a huge potential which is not used properly, and learn to have good association of Vaishnavas. Learn to become
it's for the recording, so
yes. So these are, I feel, are two projects. Scriptures, reading scriptures, like especially Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really stresses the Bhagavatam as the Amala Puranam, and Sadhu Sangha, good association with devotees. My dear devotees, when you are old, no, you are all young, let us start with you. When you are young, you have a lot of energy. Let us say this is the birth, okay, here, and this is your, this is the end, your death. So many of you are young, you are somewhere here, maybe here, some of you are here, somewhere here. At that stage, there is a tendency to see all the small things before you. I have to do this, I have to do this, and then this, and then I eat, and then I buy new toothpaste, and then soap, and then I come away from this festival. I will sleep first of all, first priority. Sleep sufficiently. Get free from sleep deprivation. Schlafen so. So on, and then this, and then this, and then meeting here, then my emails, and then this, and then this, and I wanted to listen to this, and this is still on my agenda. Small things, the 1,000 small things. When you are a little older, you start to look a little old. I might die one day. And when you are here, just before your death, no small thing is of interest any longer. What you will do is you will look back and you will see, has my life been useful? Have I helped others? Have I worked on becoming free from my own egoistic thoughts? Have I purified myself? Did I be present in important relationships? That's a very important question. Just one of the other projects I'm working on is this thing on the Atma module about, you know, the eternality of the soul. And I've done research of people who are in their last minutes before death. And they all see this. It's also amongst Vaishnavas, it's customs. You turn around, look in your life, and you beg forgiveness. Prabhupada, he exemplified this when he was just leaving. He said to his god brother, please forgive me if in the course of preaching I've sometimes offended you. I've said things strong. The Guru Maharaj nonsense. They follow the Guru Maharaj asara and so on. The god brother said, you have not done any offense. They understood Prabhupada. And of course, Prabhupada is just such a pure soul. There is no. But he to give an example, or maybe he felt like that. Also, I don't want to interpret. He said this, please forgive me. My suggestion is, why don't we do something, sometimes this, go and leave the 1,000 unimportant things. Understand, you have a limited time here. Go, go to the dead people and look back in your life how it has been. This is what spiritual people do. This is what Chanakya Pandit says. We should always be mindful and keep death before our eyes. But the philosopher goes like this through his life. Why? Because in the face of death, only essential things can stand. Everything else is cut. It's gone. Not important. And you can see that very clearly. So I want to summarize. My dear devotees, all in your own way, you have different levels of spiritual advancement in this room. You have different realizations, different life circumstances. Please use this time, this wonderful time which we had, this festival where we became a little bit, more, not a little bit, quite a lot spiritualized, and think about priorities which can be set in the life and which you can do. Find priorities or find things which empower you. Yesterday we did an exercise in our room about finding priorities, and three devotees found priorities which encouraged them and gave them strength, and others thought they found priorities, but these, I said to them, I don't think these are priorities, because they felt discouraged. Yeah, I know I should do this, but I tried so often and it didn't work in my life. Then you have not found a reasonable priority. It must be something which empowers you, not something which discourages you, because it is for you in what we could call the stress zone, you know, for one day you can do it, you can rise up at 4 o'clock and chant all your 32 rounds like Paramatma Krishna, and then the next day, it's all gone and you are somewhere else. So, that's not a mature priority. Krishna tells us how we should set priorities. He says, to act according to one's present qualification, that I call piety, and to act beyond your qualification, that is impiety. It's not good for you. The stress zone doesn't help anyone. It's not good. You break yourself, and your faith gets broken. That you can do it, that you can make advancement. And that is terrible. Once the faith is broken, terrible. So do something, set a priority which empowers you, which makes you happy when you think about it. When you do it, you feel like, wow, yes, this is the right thing now. I'm doing the right thing now. Oh, finally. Oh, it took some time to understand. And don't do too many, but don't do too less. A little stretching is important. Without it, it won't work. Hare Krishna. I have said what I wanted to say. Thank you very much for listening so patient. Please excuse me if some of the points were not of interest for you. What to do, but please, this is something to think for everyone. But I will now see if you have any questions. Please ask your question. Jalangi.
Maharaj, very often we find ourselves that we have no more interest in material things. We understand that it is over. But we cannot find the real taste for chanting and for reading. And then we are searching other things in this world. Maybe we will find something for what is also spiritual, other books or other ideas. It's really black night for the soul.
Mm-hmm. In Zalangi says sometimes we have developed some detachment from material life. We feel really it's over, I don't want to be in there. But we don't have yet any taste for the spiritual. And then we need to nourish ourselves. In some ways, and we might go to other books or other things which have some spiritual message in it. You see, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur addresses this in a very convincing way. He speaks of a normal conditioned soul who has lost the taste in Krishna, and he compares that person to a person who has a wrong, who is ill, his digestion doesn't work well. So if this person gets an overdose of sweet rice and pakoras and so on, he won't digest it. It will be harmful for him. He must start his eating process with things which are he can digest, which work for him, and then the health returns, and later he can eat the typical Hare Krishna feast. So he can't, and everything. You know better than me, because you're still healthy. The whole thing, you know, 50 different types of sweet. Oh, Krishna. Gone are the days of youth. So, we need to do something which is on our level. And therefore, devotees often who advise younger devotees will tell them, you have to find out a nourishing sadhana. Nourishing means something, was dich ernährt, was dich inspiriert. I want to make a confession to you. I did read all of Prabhupada's books a few times over the years. But I did lose in the last few years a little bit my contact to the Bhagavatam, because I had read it, and Mamai told me he read it, and I would find when I opened the Bhagavatam that Prabhupada would talk to audiences which were, you know, like materialistic scientists, the sense gratifier. He's a preacher. He wants people to wake up from the material illusions and so on. But I had developed an interest in commentaries from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and I could read that. And so I developed, I mean, I most probably read more than most of you, because I have all the time. This is my life. Sannyas life means you are liberated from everything else. So you're just preparing yourself to preach, and then you preach. You know, that's the two things which you do. It's simple. It's a beautiful life. It's a gift from Krishna, really. But I knew it is not good if I read so this and that, and I don't read my spiritual masters Bhagavatam, because we know Bhagavatam is what is his main contribution. And then something came to my help. It's this overview of the Bhagavatam, unveiling his lotus feet. It's really nothing else than Prabhupada quotations from the Bhagavatam. And I could see something which I could not see before, that is the logic and how Prabhupada writes his purpose and connects them to the subject. I could see it on this level of an older reader who likes to get new information, and immediately my brain came on fire. Now the Bhagavatam is my favorite reading matter. I'm happy to I hope Krishna allows me the space. So because I needed to do something which helped me with my situation to connect again. And this everyone needs to find, I think. Same with chanting japa. I need to see how I can connect. And I personally just, you know, I went to, I said, enough with this bad japa. This is not how you can become a devotee. And I just took the, always take a vrata, a vow to chant the extra rounds. And it helped me. That was something which helped me. Now, I'm, from this realization, we have developed, I mean, with many other much more intelligent devotees, japa retreats. And this has helped many devotees to come there and to make like a breakthrough in their old and not so good japa habits. You know. So you, my point is here, each one of us has his own spiritual journey, and we all have to find out how we can take the diet. How can we take the diet? Maybe not so much sweet rice with ghee in it and kamphor, but something gedünstet, you know. something which you can digest, which nourishes you. I think we should place an emphasis on this little word, nourishing sadhana. You know, a sadhana which nourishes us. Verstehe dieses Wort, nourishes. Nourishes means a little bit like es ernährt uns, but it's a little bit more. It strengthens us. To nourish, we say this was a nourishing meal. It means we are strengthened, we are now ready for the action. You know, sadhana which nourishes us. We have to find our excess. And it may change because spiritual life is dynamic. We have different states in our life. We have different things which concern us. That's my little advice. Noch jemand? You look at me. I am looking at you. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, I didn't understand exactly how to come to the conclusion what is the stress zone and what is the challenge.
Uh-huh.
How to practice between, okay, what is my priority?
Yeah.
How to, can I do it on my own or have I...
Yeah. Thank you very much. This is a very important question. The question is, how do I really find out what is a stress zone for me and what is a stretching zone? For those who don't remember these two terms, stress is when you do something which is too much for you and which will at the ultimately break you. You can stay a week in the stress zone. You can stay, if you're young, a month in the stress zone. You can stay 10 years in a stress zone, but if you always are in there, it will break you. Stretching means you do a little bit what is beyond what you presently are, and you, while doing this, you increase your ability to go deeper and deeper and deeper. That's how we usually tell people to start their chantings. Chant four rounds. When they chant four rounds, something opens in them, and then they can chant 8 rounds, 16 rounds, 32 rounds, whatever they wish to do. But if they would start with 16 rounds immediately, the first people, it might be too much of a challenge for them. For us it's easy, but we have many years of practice behind us. So this type of thought could go. Now our devotee wants to find out how to find what is a stretching zone for you, and what is dangerous for you, what is a stress zone. In this lecture, I wanted to give you the answer. You should find out something which is priority for you. And the priorities are usually not entirely in the comfort zone, but in other words, they are not what you presently do, but they are a little bit outside, but not too much outside of your circle of influence where you can work. They are still so close that you can feel inspired by them. I would like to ask you all a question to find out what could be a priority for you. Are you ready for an experiment?
Yes.
It's a small philosophical question. Sujati, please listen. You have to listen a little. I will say it very complicated first to make you think, and then a little brief. What is it that you know you should be doing, but you're not doing it at the moment, which would totally improve your life? Let me ask it simple. What could you do that would totally, 100% improve your life? By now you should be able to have found something. You, someone found something? Indeed. Don't worry, I won't ask you what it is. Maybe some of you were a little surprised that I asked you a question during the lecture, where one is listening and trying to understand, does this make sense what the speaker say? And so all of a sudden I ask you to switch and think about your life. Take this question with you. What could you do that will totally improve your life? And you will find something, and if it encourages you, it's in that zone of improvement. If it discourages you, that you become hopeless, I can never do it, that means it is stress zone for you. It won't work. I'm taking something home, which is so beautiful from this festival, which the devotees gave me. But I will not. It's good then not to tell it immediately, because the moment you tell your what is in your mind, it becomes public domain. It must be private in the beginning at least. And then you can share it with a good friend, and you can ask for advices and so on. These are things which are very tender, you know. These things like priority. Have I answered your question?
Yeah. Okay. As the second part, I mean, I can understand if it's setting the priority and increasing something spiritual, but if it's decreasing some material attachment, if it touches the point of decreasing a material attachment, it's not so easy to be encouraged because it's attachment. So I
feel. The way Prabhupada dealt with this decreasing attachment, he spoke often about it, but he had a very unique way how he preached it to us, how he transmitted it to us. Prabhupada would always say, add Krishna, do something positive. He would say things like, negation is not life, you know, you must think. You know, giving up deep attachment to material life means to always do something on the spiritual life. I'm always saying, to practice detachment, you have to practice attachment. Or in other words, to practice detachment from material life, you have to attach yourself to something spiritual. Because that will give you the strength. You're right. Why did Bharata Maharaj, imagine, he turned his back to his kingdom. You know, we speak, our little attachment is maybe iPods or I don't know, movies or what else. Looking at women or women looking at men and fantasizing something. You know, such these type of attachments. He had a kingdom. Small times, you know, with our attachments. And he gave that up. How? Because he was absorbed in Krishna. He had that Krishna consciousness. So let's increase there. And then we get stressed. What is your good name? Dwagadish Prabhu, the famous one. I heard about Dwagadish Prabhu from Leipzig. You know, all those who are older devotees, you know, we discuss these things amongst those who are willing to discuss it. Some are not. But those who are willing to discuss it, we always, you know, we know that. It's always you. Sometimes when there is an attachment, which, and I'm really speaking of attachment, something which you don't, you know, you should let go, but you don't really, really want to, you know, in the deepest, most secret part of your heart. Yes, I know, but no. What will I have without it? You know, that is there. Yes. That's a real heavy. I'm speaking now of the real ones, the big attachments. And then it's almost impossible. I remember one young Bhakta. He was like me, a Rolling Stones fan. In my previous life, I was previous means before coming to Krishna consciousness. That, and he sold all his Rolling Stones records. And then when he entered the ashram, but he was not free from the deepest attachment, then he all went after the people who he sold the records and gave them the double amount of money going back again. You know, he didn't really, it was not his. He was a short guest. Maya is like this, you know. She sees what you are attached to deep, and then she just presents it before you, and you go like, "Oh no!" And the other voice says, "Oh yes." We are divided souls, you know. Gespaltene Seele. So you must increase your attachment to Krishna. More reading. And then, don't we all know this? Then there is a time when we say, how could I ever be so attached to this? This is nothing. This is tasteless. It comes by Krishna consciousness. You know that. You joined the movement and you were attached to things you are no longer attached to. And if you think now how attached you were, you go like, how was it possible? How could I do this? So increase in slow portions your attachment to Krishna by the processes which you have. And if you wish to know how to do it, according to Prabhupada's method, here is a verse which speaks about it. There are many verses, but here's one. You could make a note and read it. And Prabhupada makes here the point in this verse that we should become attached to a pure devotee. We should link up with him. We should connect, and then something comes into our heart. That's the power of these devotees. They place something into their attached. And you know, when we read Prabhupada's books, we know something strikes us all of a sudden. That's his power, which is somehow working at that time. It uplifts us. You all know that. So I don't want to take more of your time. Thank you all very much. Wish you all the best. And Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki Gaur Premanan Yoyenko. Total Gopinath. Tushka.
Now, so dear devotees, dear Vaishnavis and Vas, Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra will leave in 10 minutes to go back to Jagannath, Puri, to Bali, which is not, it's not different, since Jagannath is there. So all devotees who want to say goodbye to Lord Jagannath, there are have the opportunity in the temple room to sing for the procession when Jagannath goes with man. Is it like that? In 10 minutes. Thank you. Hare Om.